Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Slay, second language acquisition for everyone. We are very excited to dive into an article about listening proficiency today, but before we do, I wanted to remind our listeners that starting next week, which is this date that I knew right off the top of my head, glad you
August
asked,
18th.
Bill. Oh, yes. That's what I was about to say. On August 18th, kind of on our off weeks from publishing an episode of the podcast, we will be doing a book study of a book related to world language teaching. This first semester, as it were, we are diving into proficiency-based instruction, teaching grammar for proficiency by Ritz and Travers. So if you would like to join us on our social media, we're very active on Blue Sky as well as Facebook. We will be going chapter by chapter with those books with our dear colleague, Stacy Witkowski, and we'll be kind of diving in chapter by chapter and seeing what we can learn from studying this book. At the end of that book study, we will do a summary episode, hopefully with Stacy, fingers crossed, where we kind of describe our takeaways from reading that book and see what we learn. So if you haven't got a copy of the book, go ahead and swing on over. We have it in the show notes for you to buy from Acfull's bookstore. And so go grab that, and then we'll see each other for the book study on social media starting on the 18th.
Yeah, I'm excited. I've already got through like the first couple chapters, and there's some really good stuff to talk about. So I'm looking forward to checking that out with everyone. Ooh. Any other announcements before we gaslight ourselves?
On the gas, Billiam. I think that's all we got for now.
Well, if you find any value in what we produce, we would really appreciate maybe a little monetary donation to help keep this going, so that we would still probably keep going anyway, but it would be nice to help offset some of the costs associated with producing a podcast. So check out our website slaypod.com and you can find a donate link there, and we'd
Yeah,
appreciate it.
this helps
Thanks.
us pay for hosting the podcast on all the different podcast sites, microphone equipment, and my
Editing
haircuts.
software.
Yes.
Yes. So if you can, we'd appreciate it. And if not, keep listening. Anyway. All right. So did you already say what the topic of the article is?
Bill, what's our topic today?
So we're going to be talking about long form video and listening comprehension. So like maybe using like a TV series or a telenovela or some sort of drama, comedy. A series and how it could maybe help with listening comprehension skills. But before we jump into the article, some ways that I have maybe unsuccessfully used series and classes is that I don't do enough with them. Like they maybe get some input from it, but sometimes we don't get as much interaction with the story. So I tend to we'll watch a bit, we'll do a write and discuss, and usually I don't like assess anything like directly related to the show, but obviously like language builds on itself, so like the language that we use to talk about the show, we can use in other contexts as well, but I need to like maybe see how to do that a little more clearly, like to connect the show to the other things that we talk about in class. And with Spanish 4, I do, and I'll talk more about this later, but I use Tierra Incógnita, which is on Disney Plus. It's real cool. Parents go missing at the theme park that they own, and the kids, after 8 years of being away, come back to the park to find out what happened to their family. And there is a monster that causes people to experience fear and like kind of lives within all of the amusement park rides. So it's Disney, so it's kind of cheesy, but
I love cheese.
it's yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for the comment.
Thank you. I'm a highly educated
Insightful.
person.
So I use that in Spanish 4, and like there's 2 seasons of 8 episodes each, but I really only try to get through like one season in the school year, because otherwise it's not as useful to just like put on the show and just watch it. Now, I have done that because we all have days where we need to just like sit back. And usually, though, we'll at least do a write and discuss, or I've tried to preemptively write summaries of the episodes or like the episode part that we watch, so that students at least have something to read as well as listen to. But my biggest issue comes from trying to use a show in Spanish. One, I have tried a couple different shows, and like sometimes the content is fine, but the language is difficult to work with. Other times the language is easy to work with, but it's not really the most fun. I like, for example, a show that exists in a lot of different languages is Extra. Like, have you ever, I think there's a German version.
Oh, there sure is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something.
You know what made me angry is when I learned that Sam's, the actor who plays Sam Scott, who's mm-hmm. supposed to be all American, is from Holland. Like, he's Dutch. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Excuse me?
Oh, the, Sam.
The little American.
The dreamy American.
And by American, we mean that he's from Den Haag.
Oh,
that blew my mind when I learned that.
But I mean, like,
Extra.
No, I like, it has value for sure. It just didn't quite work for me the way that it might work for others. This past year, I tried another Disney show called Chueco, which is like this puppet chimp that can talk. And if anyone finds out that the chimp can talk, then the dad of the family doesn't get to inherit his uncle's $9 million fortune.
If I had a nickel.
You'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice.
You're pulling out two issues that I have like also experienced. And the first one is like, I'm really glad you do the write and discuss afterwards, because the one of the problems is like what to do. It takes in the kind of bigger.
Have you heard of write and discuss?
No. Just kidding. We'll link my blog post in the notes.
Ben is a WD expert.
Yeah. But it's a time investment, right? Like, I think write and discuss is a good way to get the language repeated and to get students to interact more thoughtfully with the thing. But if we know that we would want students, I don't know, to, you know, when we're in our best teacher selves and not just putting it on because we're like desperate. And trust me, listeners, I've been there where it's like, it's Friday, I don't know what to do. I'm like, we're going to watch an episode of this. And then we never talk about it ever again. It's a time investment. How much time do you feel willing to invest in watching the show in class, you know, detracting in quotation marks from anything else you might do? And if you are going to watch it, are you going to do something low lift, like a write and discuss after, and that's essentially it, and maybe a bit of review before? Or do you seek out things with, you know, pre-teaching vocabulary and, you know, previewing the content and having students kind of do like, you know, activate their prior knowledge before jumping into an episode? And then do you have like comprehension questions that follow it? I think in an ideal world, we would have all that to keep students cognitively engaged in a lot of different ways and modes with a TV series. That represents a time investment in your planning time. Again, that takes away in quotation marks from anything else. And it represents a huge time investment for you. If you have to make those worksheets, if you have to go find them, or if you find them, but then you find they don't fit your purposes, so you have to adapt them. I was looking, for instance,
even like
at
vocabulary stuff. Like, I've like had to figure out like, oh, like as I, like I would write a summary of a show and then I'll be like, oh, they don't know a lot of this vocabulary, but is it important to the show? And if it's not important to the show, can I skip over it and just like, maybe we just talk about it for a little bit, but.
Cause... Yeah, it takes a lot of time to think that all through. I, for instance, was looking at the worksheets that are provided by Vela, who produced the show that is the subject of this study that we're going to read today. The worksheets included pretty extensive explanations of German verb tenses in German. And I don't know if I want to subject my students to that. That doesn't seem like a good use of their time to try essentially have them do reading comprehension of this very abstract grammatical topic, etc. So, you know, so even if you do find something that somebody else has made, it's not necessarily going to be what you want or need for your purposes, for your classroom. And that's a time investment. The other part of it is, yeah, finding something of student interest. It's not always easy. Authentic shows are going to be very heavy in, you know, spontaneous, unclear speech with background noise and all sorts of stuff.
Different cultural pieces, like a lot of shows in Spain that I've seen have a lot more cursing than shows in the United States for the same audience.
I was previewing a movie that I wanted to show to my students that was rated for like youth 12 and older, and I was like, dang, youth in Germany are built different. This is crazy. I didn't show this to my kids who are like juniors and seniors in high school. So yeah, I think so there's that. And but then if you balance that, sometimes we have all experienced a telenovela that is so clearly made, you know, with its hand glued to a textbook, that mm-hmm. you're like, this is not compelling. This is not interesting. It's essentially like taking activities you do in class and then just putting them on the screen and being like, look how interesting. And it's like, no one cares. I don't know these people. I have no investment in their story about what they're doing. So it really, it's hard. It's hard to find an appropriate series that does the job of giving students exposure to authentic cultural whatever, practice, mm-hmm. products, practices, perspectives, that is not so linguistically taxing that it turns learners off or is not worth essentially the investment of time. Right. So that's hard. Another aspect it was there. It was on the top of my tongue. Another aspect that I have had is that it does take a bit of work and consistency to make students feel more comfortable with speakers who are not their teacher, because we train ourselves to speak slowly and clearly. We know what things to emphasize because we're aware of our students' vocabularies. We know when to pause and rephrase, to when to draw something on the board, when to reintroduce a gesture, when to ask targeted questions to kind of recycle vocabulary. And a series doesn't do that for you. And so if sometimes I have made the mistake of going from all class input, you know, like me, mostly me talking and interacting with students in like whole class question answer or, you know, small pair sort of stuff, and just jumped into something with a lot of authentic language. And then rightfully my students are like, what the heck? Like this, we went from, you know, somebody who really cares about us understanding to an MP3 file that does not care about us understanding at all. You know, how can we bridge the difference between the sort of interactions that we have in class and the authentic materials that we eventually want our students to be able to tackle with confidence with their various listening skills.
Yeah. Anything else about how, I mean, besides just like not doing it, since like the article talks about listening comprehension and trying to improve listening comprehension, like I think it's just not something that I think about enough because they have to listen all the time. But you bring up a good point about like they also need to be getting used to speakers that aren't me. So I just need to be like maybe more proactive about making sure that I do just have like audio only practice or like cold listenings, perhaps, to help figure out where students are.
Totally. We'll talk about this too. I think the last issue that comes up for me is like the eternal what subtitles to use question. And this, the lit review of this kind of gave us some good answers, and so I'll get into those a little bit later. But, you know, puzzling with myself, do I put on the L1 captions? Do I put on the L2 captions? Do I not? At what level do I do what? And sort of things. It is not necessarily a gaslight. I don't think there is a wrong way to do it based on what your goals are. Mm-hmm. But it is something that comes up where I'm like, oh, God, I want to show this thing. And like, what do I do? Like, do I show it like this? Do I show it like this? So having some answers through this lit review, maybe will help us and our listeners.
Yeah. All right. So with that, you want to get into this week's article?
Absolutely. So
wonderful.
For this episode, Bill and I read the article, Effects of Extended Exposure to Video in the Language Classroom on Listening Proficiency, by Teresa Schenker and Lisa Lotte-Zippel, who are from the Department of Germanic Languages at Yale University here in the United States. This article was published in, if I remember correctly, 2023 in Die Unterrichtsis, which is the journal known as Teaching German. This is provided for members of the American Association of Teachers of German, AATG, as our professional organization, puts out two journals. One is mostly focused on teaching. It's called German Quarterly, and the other one is focused on research. So we have access to these research publications through our AATG professional membership. So if you are a member of ACTFL, for instance, or AATF, AATSP, oftentimes they also have their own either research journals or practice-focused journals or both. So if you're looking for interesting reads, that's where we're finding this.
AATSP definitely has one. They've got España.
Oh, nice.
That is pretty good. So
yeah,
I used if to you're in a professional organization, check out what you have access to.
Yes.
Same with Actual. You can get the foreign language annals.
All right. So the problem that the authors of this study were attempting to tackle is the problem that often listening comprehension skills don't develop at the same pace as other skills. They develop a little behind. And they attribute this possibly to a lack of a systematic approach to teaching the skills of listening. So they wondered and sought to answer through their study, can using a telenovela designed for language learners help students develop their listening proficiency as a skill that is often behind and that lacks often systematic approaches? So, as part of the lit review, they reviewed various literature about listening comprehension skills, and indeed, it seems like listening comprehension generally is slightly lower than the other skills. For instance, after 2 years, this is consistent with other studies that we've covered actually in the podcast. After 2 years, students or learners are typically between novice high and intermediate low listening, though they may trend higher in writing, reading, and speaking. But that listening comprehension is essential for overall proficiency because I think all of our students want to be able to speak the language with other real people. And if they can't understand what their speaking partner is saying, then they're kind of dead in the water from the get-go. Their literature review also touched on how...
I was just going to say, we have to make sure that we are giving input that can be comprehended, not just, throw audio at them and expect that listening comprehension will get better.
Totally.
We have to have the input so that the listening can be easier later.
Absolutely. As part of this, listening causes anxiety. Again, there's no... In a live conversation, you can roll it back a little bit, but with a text or a video, sometimes you can't roll it back, and then the students get more anxious, and that raises their affective filter. It makes them harder for them to acquire things, harder to pay attention and learn. Teaching student-specific learning strategies can also help increase their proficiency, whether to listen for the main idea or details, whether to look for this, that, and the other, but teacher toolboxes are quite varied in this regard, as are the comforts in using, levels of comfort in using authentic resources versus adapted or created materials. And the literature review also talked about how previewing helps with comprehension, essentially, doing some sort of activities before the listening or viewing of a video that essentially kind of primes the brain to be able to comprehend it better. I, again, would say that I'm fairly inconsistent in this, that sometimes I'm like, all right, we're watching this because I don't know what else to do. Or I don't have the resources for it, and I think we can just do a write and discuss after. But that previewing can actually help comprehension, too. And then the lit review, I loved this, talked again about the issue of captions, which was very helpful and clarifying for me. Using L1 captions, so for instance, if I were to show my students a video in German with English subtitles, may help their overall comprehension of what is happening in the video, but might actually have negative effects on their listening comprehension in the target language because they become so reliant on the subtitles. L2 captions also help with overall comprehension. They also have a positive effect and some help with listening, but it's unclear to what extent the skills of listening and reading are being drawn upon in any given moment, or the extra linguistic support that might be in a video. So they might be using their stronger reading to support their comprehension, and it's not quite clear if that is boosting their listening as well. So all that being said, for our listeners, if you want to watch something cultural and just kind of enjoy it and you don't want to stress too hard, maybe you need a break, they need a break, L1 subtitles might be fine. If you're showing it, for instance, for club, or if I'm showing something for German club, we're doing L1 subtitles. But if we're showing something for class that we think our students could tackle, those L2 subtitles are a good option. Or if you're being really strict and want to get those listening skills up, as we see as part of this study, no subtitles is a big challenge, but it can get better. Onto the research methods and the research questions. The researchers wanted to know, what are the effects on listening proficiency of watching telenovela made for language learners? How useful do learners feel that it is? And then the third one, how do they perceive the specific telenovela that they used in the study? So they had about 33 participants in their study, 22 were in an experimental group, 11 were in the control group. The overall course target was B1 in the CEFR proficiency levels, which is the equivalent of our American proficiency levels of intermediate high, intermediate mid. and they're in their third semester of German. They watched episodes of a telenovela called JoJo, which are about 3 minutes long each, plus or minus, and they watched 1 to 4 episodes a week with no captions. Before they watched the episodes, they were provided new vocabulary with definitions, and as well as some listening comprehension questions that could be multiple choice, fill in the blank, true or false, that sort of stuff, kind of typical. The class previewed those questions before and then reviewed them after they watched the segment. So you figure, watching a 3-minute episode of something, they're previewing the questions and vocab before, they're talking about it after. Not, I would say, you know, Bill, how long are your periods? My periods are typically 50 minutes long, or we have one block day a week. How long are your periods?
We've got 45-minute classes, and then once a week, well, it's once every other week, they have an hour-long class. So that's typically, on those hour-long classes is typically when I jump into a show. But nice. That's just my logistical reasoning.
Sure. Well, and I could see this procedure exactly as they outline it here, costing you 10 to 15 minutes if once you've got it routinized. So the control group, what did the control group do? Those 11 students that didn't get to enjoy JoJo Sucht das Glück, they did not watch a telenovela. Instead, they used those, whatever, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. I'm not sure. Maybe it took longer for them. They just did more of what they had been doing in class. So exercises to help with their reading comprehension, their writing and their speaking, but also listening stuff. Both groups were still doing other targeted listening activities. You can imagine that could be authentic resource, native speakers talking. It could be, you know, recordings tied to a textbook, that sort of thing. And they did practice exercises. So they're all getting some sort of listening practice. It's not as if the other class did everything just on paper and then talking. To measure the effects of this, they used a pre-post test model. So essentially giving a listening comprehension exam using the Dialing test, and also had students self-evaluate on how confident they felt on listening. And that is an interesting one that we'll get into in the results. So what were the results? You had one group that was watching a telenovela all semester, kind of slowly in increments with pre and post activities. Another note is to say that they only watched it once in class, so they watched it, no subtitles, one time through. What did this do versus just doing other exercises? Most students in both groups started at about A2 proficiency in listening. And that is about intermediate mid in our actual language. The experimental group, interestingly for me, started overall lower. The overall skew of scores was slightly lower than the control group. More students in the experimental group reached B1 proficiency, which in the CEFR rankings is kind of a rise of one level. B1 for us Americans is about intermediate high to advanced low. More students reached B1 after the treatment in the experimental group than in the control group, 36% to 27%, that's all right. And 9% of students in the experimental group reached B2, which is advanced mid in listening, but none of the control group students did. Small groupings, but pretty substantial. After one semester, this had a medium effect size on the experimental group in boosting their overall listening proficiency, which is to say that it did some substantial work in pushing students along the proficiency spectrum for listening. Again, the experimental group started lower than the control group. The control group overall had higher listening proficiency, but after the treatment, that was not the same. The experimental group came out stronger. Pretty cool. Okay, so it works. Doing listening like this works for a wider variety of learners to push them to different levels of proficiency based on what they're ready for. Awesome. Cool. That answers kind of their first research question is like, what are the effects on listening proficiency? By my reading, pretty strong, pretty good. Medium effect size in research language is like, yeah, probably do that. So do you, Bill, as a budding educational researcher, do you have any commentary on my interpretation of educational research?
Where to start? No, you're good.
No, please. All right. Their second research question was about how useful did learners think it was? Both groups perceived improvements in their listening proficiency. So they found it useful. But the experimental group found it had more improvements in their listening proficiency and found that their course did better to train them in listening proficiency. Interestingly, this is kind of a side note that came from the discussion later, is that the control group self-assessed themselves less accurate than they're listening. So they were like, yeah, I was a 4 at the beginning of the semester and now I'm a 6. And the results didn't quite match with that. Not that, you know, at an overall level. So perhaps being subjected to greater demands of listening proficiency development, those students became more aware of what their actual listening proficiency was, and then as a result probably got to feel their development, their listening proficiency, a little bit more acutely than a control group student who was like, yeah, I got better because I took a semester, with no, you know, with no finer tuned sense of what that meant. So I thought that was very interesting. Their final research question is like, did they enjoy Jojo Sucht das Glück? And like, what was their perceptions coming out of that? Overall, based on their assessments, evaluations from the students, the series ranked positively for enjoyment. We got 5.18 rating out of a 6 being the top score. They found it to be a good way to learn German watching the telenovela, 5.27 out of 6. Pretty strong for they felt it improved their vocabulary, 4.09. Pretty strong for they felt it improved their listening comprehension, 4.36. And they all felt that it got easier over time. So in the beginning, they felt like they're like, oh my gosh, here comes a series. It's native speakers speaking in the series and they're not having subtitles. And they maybe felt like that it was pretty demanding at the beginning, but that it got easier over time. The problems that they experienced were that, yeah, they didn't really feel that it addressed culture in a way that they found meaningful as much. So again, the issue that we've talked about. Some complained about the no captions, but you know, we know that it is the vegetable from the study. It sounds like it is the vegetables that help them grow. There were some concerns about only watching the episode once. I think that's fair. I think we can, you know, students could watch it independently at home, or if it's a short segment, they could watch it again in class. But based on the treatment that they did, you know, students were like, please let us watch it more. And then the final kind of problem that came up with using it was just the show itself. And this is true, as we know, as high school teachers, not everyone's going to like every show. Everyone has different tastes in entertainment. And so some students really, really looking forward to watching Jojo Sucht das Glück every class or every week. And then other students were like, it was cheesy and stupid and I didn't like it. And I think we'll find those kids in every one of our classes that, you know, not every series speaks to every person. Interestingly, they also made a note about it could have been more diverse in its representation of Germans, which I thought was interesting. And again, I think that makes the case for more varied listening and for more greater variety of sources. So that was, I have officially ungatekept effects of extended exposure to video in the language classroom on listening proficiency. Bill, tell me what you're thinking.
So I thought it was, and I'm looking at like the figures in the article, and like looking at the pretest post-test graphs is quite interesting. Like in the experimental group, you had about seven students at A1 and 15 at A2. And the post-test, there was one student at A1, mm-hmm. 11 at A2, 8 at B1, and 2 at B2.
Yes.
So that's like a lot of growth.
Yeah, we had 6 students move out of the A1 group into either A2, B1, B2. And there was an overall movement of like 10-ish students out of this A2 group into a higher level of proficiency, both the targeted proficiency of B1, but also beyond that target into B2, which I thought was pretty substantial. Whereas the control group, again, higher average scores, but there was only an increase of like one student in the target proficiency B1 group. And then they essentially moved the 2 students out of A1 into B2, or excuse me, A2. Mm-hmm. And like, that was it. So it's a much more modest movement.
So for, and I might've missed it. This was over the course of a semester or the
yes.
course of a, okay. So, I mean, that's pretty cool to see.
Pretty good bang for your buck.
Yeah. And this was only like 3 or 4 minute segments, right? How long did you say the episodes were?
Yeah, just about on average, each episode was about 3 minutes long.
And well, one, how many episodes are there? Are they still in production? But did the episodes were only that long, or like that's the amount that they took each day?
It kind of varied. Sometimes they watched 2 episodes in a class, but for the most part, they were watching 2-ish episodes a week.
Okay.
And as part of their routine, I'm on the JoJo website, for instance, and it looks like there are about 33 episodes of the first season of JoJo's, and then they have additional seasons, so you could really go all in.
Maybe I'll check it out. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool, and I think it's reaffirming that using a show in class could lead to better listening proficiency. And it makes me think about how I could better support students before we watch whatever it is that we watch. So like I said, we watch like half of an episode every other week. And so like 20, 15 to 20-ish minutes, depending on the episode. It takes us an hour to get through. Yeah, so but I definitely have time before we watch that I could probably do something. So
Yeah. Let's call boss. How can we do this
good
well?
stuff. Yeah. So I will say I wish I could remember the name of the person, and I probably can find it somewhere, but something that really changed how I approach using a show was years ago when I first wanted to teach Pan's Labyrinth in class with a great film. I found this teacher's guide on Teacher Pay Teacher, trying to see if I've got the document up that I could let you know who made it. I'm not on my home computer, but a lot of the teacher's guide had like put the events in order as like an activity to follow up, like watching a section of the movie. And so I've done that a bit, like to like put the events that we have just seen in order. And I thought that was a really good way to get students at least rereading information about what we've seen. So that doesn't really go into like the listening part of it, but I'm wondering if, like you said in the article, they did do some pre-teaching.
Yes, they provided vocabulary lists to the students and then previewed the questions.
Yeah, so I think that, I mean, that's definitely going to be like a takeaway that I take away. But I think the biggest, and I know this isn't much girl bossing, but like the biggest challenge is like making the activities each time different enough. It doesn't just get stale. But another way that I have tried to increase engagement, just like
Can I go back
sometimes.
and cut in for just briefly on what you
Yeah,
just said?
sure.
I would say I could gentle pushback in that, like, I think if you find a couple formats that you know are like bangers and that your students become comfortable with, it's less taxing on them to have something new every time. And so you may rotate between, three different sorts of things that students do. But yeah, again, I'm just thinking of the time investment. We don't want to burn out our bilium and making inventing something new every time we watch an episode of something. But that's just a, follow your gut, dear listener.
Earlier we were talking about like a, not every student is going to like every resource that we share with them, which is fine. That's just like the that's life. Sorry about it. I will do my best to make it engaging, but like if it's not inherently engaging to you, sorry, but it is part of what we're doing. So for in those cases, I just make fun of the show. Like that is like it's a Disney show, so it's like Disney cheesy. So even though it's like kind of a horror show, there's still like not the some moments where it's not the greatest acting that I've ever seen in my life. In fact, like the first couple seconds is like some of the worst acting I've ever seen. But that's beside the point.
But
Disney
that's part of
definitely has
the
a good
part of the
sense
fun too, is
of
that, in order to get the linguistic content out of it, you can still have those anchor activities of true false and multiple choice and fill in the blank, etc. But then to milk the language, you can just turn the discussion afterwards into a gentle ribbing. And I'm totally with it. I've watched German teachers will be familiar with Hallo aus Berlin, and that is just like a cursed nightmare hellscape of like weird animation and just like crazy music. And yeah, part of the fun is just being like, and then this happened, and that was weird. And then coming up with a bunch of like essentially fan theories about why the characters are the way they are. We've done the same thing with Nico's Vague, where we're like, he loses his bag immediately in a taxi at the very beginning, which I learned is also one of the ruses of the show we used in the study. So I was like, do German people obsessed with bags or like what's happening here? And just like where it goes and like who his contact person in Germany is, why he's in Germany, all that sort of stuff, like why, you know, why he left his quote home country in Spain, even though it's a German born actor with dark hair, and like that they're like, ooh, Spanish. So, you know, like I think making fun of it, we can still get the, if we know that kids are going to be like, this is cheesy, this is outdated, this is whatever, you know, part of the fun too is just enjoying it as something to, you know, water cooler goofiness with our students about, you know, how goofy the show is.
Yeah. And if in my class, like since Tierra Incognita is like fairly new, it came out originally in 2022. Mm-hmm. So like the actors are like the students' age and they all have Instagram. So like we've like hopped on Instagram and found the actors and see like, because they usually have like a post about the show. So like we can actually go and see what the actors think of the show and see how people are reacting to them and their part in the show. So, which is just also like another opportunity to look at interpersonal communication between fans and celebrities. And also like, just kind of cool to see. I told students to message them because the actors don't have a lot of followers, so they have a chance of getting a response back. I don't think anyone did take me up on that, but
incredible.
I'll keep it updated. How about you? How do you think you've girl bossed using?
I think something we can do for our listeners is maybe provide some of the names of the series that we know that people, even if we don't use them ourselves, that people use. I texted Brian ahead of this just to be like, hey, and also like if Brian knew about any French series for our French teacher listeners. Extra does exist in French. You're welcome. And he said that the Thé Branché textbook came with a series called Rendez-vous à Nice that Brian still uses, so that might be worth looking into for our French teachers. On the German side of things, we have the one that they named in the series, Jojo Such Dusk. My mentor teacher often uses it, I believe, in level 3, so that would be good for there. There's Nico's Weg, which is provided by Deutsche Welle, Deutschlernen. And you can, there is an A1 level that is cut up into little clips that are 2-ish minutes each. There is an eight, or you can watch as a, like a whole normal film essentially on YouTube. These are all on YouTube. There is an A2 and there's a B1. So if you want to do 3 straight years in Nico's Weg, you could. I've used Hallo aus Berlin. That's like, you can't really call that a telenovela just because it's just like, you know, it's a German learner series. So it's just very like, how do you answer the question what your age is? I'm this old. And then there's like a little intermediate scene and animated stuff and then a song and it's all just focused on very basic kind of can-dos for a level 1 student. But that's fun. And if you're a German teacher, you haven't used it, you're welcome. And then there was another one I thought of. Oh, I'm starting to work with the Klett textbook Netzwerk Neu. And they have a little series called Netzwerk WG, I think. And so I'm planning on incorporating that a little bit into my classes as well. In terms of authentic ones, again, I've had a really, for kind of the reasons we described earlier, I've had a harder time finding more authentic series. Often I tell my students that you can Google German series, for instance, on Netflix. I cannot officially endorse any of them because in the United States, they would be rated R. However, happy viewing. It will be good for your German and maybe your culture understanding. But yeah, a lot of them contain lots of sex and nudity and drug use and blah, blah, blah. So I haven't found a super great one. There is Bibi und Tina, which is about a teenage witch who moves on to her like friend's farm. It's wild. So if you really wanted to go in, you could do Bibi and Tina.
Moved in with her aunts, like Sabrina.
Is it her? I'm trying to remember. And that's on Amazon Prime. But in terms of like other authentic series, I'm kind of drawing a blank for German. But maybe our listeners will comment and let us know.
Extra. I've got some examples that I know that Spanish teachers have used, but something that I've done, I have a subscription to Atres Player, which is like Netflix, but in Spain. Mm. So like I've checked out some series there. But also like, is there like Nailed It Germany?
Yes.
That's a good one to use. Like that's a, I've used the Spanish versions before. So students get really good at saying Wakala. Like, but so like check out that, see if there's any streaming services like from the country that speaks the language that you teach, to see if there's any access to things there. I know that a couple of my colleagues use EduNovela, which is an online resource. I As far as I'm aware, it's just Spanish, but I could be wrong on that. But that comes with like pre, during, and post watching activities. The subscription also, like, I mean, it has like you can grade the activities there and assign it for homework if you want, and it breaks a show up into many little parts for students to watch. And I know that one of my colleagues that's been using it had really, really enjoyed using it and has gotten it for the past like 3 or 4 years to keep using it. I know some other shows that people have used in Spanish classes are like El Internet, which is inappropriate in some places, so like you have to like watch out for your job. There's some like nudity and quite a bit of cussing, but that one's a really interesting show. And Gran Hotel, which is on Edunovela, I know that that one's there. I know people have used Go
Jacobs
Vive Tu
uses,
Manera,
I was about to say, Go Vive Tu Vida. She has a bunch of
which is
resources
also
related to that
super.
online.
She has so many great resources. I think she even might have some for Tierra Incognita. If you need to check out how to like incorporate videos, what's her website? CE Authores.
Yes, CEAUTHRES.com. Comprehensifying and
So what's the
extending authentic
comprehensifying and
resources.
extending authentic resources? So if you're looking into how to like comprehensify and extend your authentic resources, check that out. There's some great tip there. What are some other shows? Oh, when I was in high school, we watched Atrévete a Soñar, which was just wonderful. Loved it. And it like we were watching that one live, like as the episodes were coming out. It was and then
That's fire.
the star of that, Dana Paula ended up playing Elphaba in Wicked Mexico.
Oh.
So just like
Super,
my
super into that.
high school theater nerd was very happy about that. Yeah, I don't know. If I think of any more, I'll gladly share. But those are some good ones to get started with, I think.
Yeah, and now I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, what? I would love to do a different one at each level and then be, I think, a little bit. I'm still, Billiam, you're getting started with your school year, but I still have a couple weeks left. So I'm thinking I need to more intentionally plan it into my year and either just choose a couple months where I do it or to choose to truly divide it up over the course of a semester or a year to make sure that it gets done. Because otherwise I think we get caught up in the flurry of a school year and then things come up and we just kind of check what we
Yeah, it
don't
would
think we
be
need.
I really don't like not being able to finish. So like if it gets to the point in the year where like, oh well, we haven't been able to watch it for a couple of weeks, maybe we just put it on so that, 'cause like I don't want to leave you hanging. I want you to know that there is maybe some sort of resolution to the show. But yeah, that's last year I tried to get through a season each semester, and no, it is that no. That not much entertainment had ha engagement happened, not that much learning. But well, anything else?
I would say also too, I mean, in terms of like this study really only they said that they use true false, multiple choice, and fill in the blank questions. And just that was enough to have them rise their proficiency as much as they did. So if you're trying to think to yourselves like, oh God, how can I make something with a manipulative that they use right after, or how can I do something that engages their creativity and stuff like that, it can actually be a less of investment on your time. If you don't have the gas in the tank for that, it can just be more simple. And I'm hoping that people will share if they have more materials online. But this research treatment didn't go above and beyond. They just did what we would call kind of standards, and it worked out great. It did its job. So free yourself from the need to
So what
create
do you
everything
think?
from scratch and have it be perfect.
Yeah. So what do you think? People should try out using a series?
I think I've convinced myself, so I probably recommend it.
All right. And I will do some reflecting on how I implement it and see how it goes. Well, I think that's about it for this episode. Don't forget, August 18th, we'll be starting our book club on proficiency-based instruction, Teaching Grammar for Proficiency by Katherine Ritz and Mike Travers. Get it on the ACTFL website. And join us, I guess it'll be next week by the time that like we've published this. It'll be next
Yeah.
week. So get that in your shopping cart and get it delivered or get the ebook.
Cool.
And until next time. Yeah. And until next time, go slay. Bye.